I'm saying, we see what's going on around us. Can't help but see it. But we go by what we see, even though we supposedly we walking by faith. It's like, I see this door is here closed. I'm walking by faith. I'm going to go through the door. But I see this closed, so I know I still got to open it to go out. You know, it's not like I can just walk through the door and the door's going to automatically open unless it's one of those type of doors that automatically open. And even when you get to one of those, and it's supposed to open, if it don't open, sometimes you stand there like, what's going on? You know. But getting to see what's happening, like we today, and we wonder, how is this going to happen? I got faith that the Lord is going to deal with me. He's going to do this. He's going to take care of things. But I don't see how it's going to happen. This is what I see in the world every day. Yeah.
You know, there's people like Gideon out here today. Mm-hmm. I know a friend of mine who I'm trying to get her to come over here. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to teach her. And she comes back at me and she says, well, you tell me one thing, and another friend of mine tells me another thing, and I need God to come down and tell me directly what I need to do. I said, you know what? I said, God is speaking to you every day if you open up the Bible.
Amen.
He's talking to you. He's telling you what you need to do. But people, and I hate to say this, but people are too lazy to go in the Bible for themselves to read and understand and know what God wants them to do. I have no other explanation for that. Mm-hmm. Why don't you want to go and learn it for yourself?
It's good. I'm glad you said that, because it made me yesterday, not yesterday, a couple of days ago, Deb and I was over at Best Buy, and we were talking with a lady. And she was talking about the situation of the day and young people, kids, not just young people, though. Basically, on young people, they don't have no, can't think of the word that she used. But in the older days, earlier days, older people used to say, "Mother, you don't have to facilitate your brain to reason, to think things out." We live in this world today where everything is automated, AI. You know, you don't have to do nothing. Ever since they came out with the little handheld computers that you carry to school, you don't have to think about nothing. You know, you just punch it in. You go get the fast food. It's going to have to cook nothing. It's ready. You don't even have to go to the fast food. You can call it on the phone. They bring it to you. What do we have to do nowadays in our life? When we used to have to use this up here. Now, you
know,
use nothing but your
fingers. Well, you know, that reminds me, you know, they can look up everything else. Mm-hmm. You can look up the Bible online.
Mm-hmm. But they don't
you
want to.
You type in, what does God say about da-da-da-da-da, and you will get the answer.
Because then they have to live by that. Live by that.
Yeah, that's right. No excuse.
So it's a whole other obligation.
Exactly.
Yeah. They don't want to do nothing. You know, they want to be handed to you. Mm-hmm. And what I tell the lady, they go by AI and computers, machines, and all this. How are you going to know when they mess up if you're not applying this up here? You know, you go to the store and the cash register say you give back this amount. You can figure it in your head, or if you don't know whether it looks right or not, you just going by what it says. Yeah. So if you get somebody the wrong change, they say, no, I gave you this. What is I just say this. What happened to this by you?
Oh, they're out there.
Don't get me started on this.
Oh, I know it. That's what I'll get to say. I went to the store. Maybe a couple of weeks ago. And I gave the little girl my money. And I think it came up to $25. Mm-hmm. I gave her $30. Mm-hmm. It took this little girl almost 10 minutes to figure out how much money I gave, and I kept, and it was saved. Yeah. It was absolutely, because I'm looking at her, and she kept looking at the money, and looking at me, looking at the money, trying to, I said, baby, I gave you $30. She said, okay. It broke my heart.
That's it.
It really, I was thinking that, did they hire someone that really don't know money or how to count money, or she just... I felt so bad.
What's the same thing with the same thing with a clock, an analog clock?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They can't tell the time by an analog clock. Right. It has to be digital.
Yes.
Otherwise, they don't know what time it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Connor's given up looking at the analog clock. He's gone to asking Alexa to tell him what time it is.
Yeah.
And I've got Daniel who will keep looking at that clock, and I said, you just keep looking at that clock, boy.
On top of that.
Figure it out.
Write your name.
Yeah.
You know,
I know.
You can't write your name.
They don't know.
Yes.
We are indeed fortunate that we do have God's Word, that it is there available for us and for those who are willing to read it, come to the understanding, Lord willing, the comprehension, and then the next process, the obligation, and then the privilege, and then the lifestyle. All that is in here. And I had a discussion with one of the brethren on the sojourn. His concern was, of course, the artificial intelligence that's out there misleading people in even in regards to the word, because the word is being misused to propagate hidden agendas.
Right.
And so the only argument I could, not in a negative way, do, said, brother, the answer is already in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved.
Yes.
But he replied back, Chuck, it's artificial intelligence. That's listen to what you just said. It's artificial. It's artificial. You still need to fulfill 2 Timothy 2:15. Study so that you know that that is artificial. Study so that you know it's misleading you. Study so that you understand God's will. And so again, the tools are available. And it's, Lord willing, one day, all people, while God allows us, mankind, the world, his creation, time to come to him before the door does close.
Oh, yeah.
Permanently.
And that's why, piggybacking off what Chuck said, it's important in this digital age to have your word in print. Because they can, if everything goes digital and they get rid of print, then what do you have to convince?
To fall back on that.
Yeah.
There's coming a time, I think, when that will happen. And even in the print, we see the different versions.
Right.
We studied, you know, about the Bible. Some words they don't put in, some of them they put in is change the context of what is being said. Some words will vividly describe what is being said. Some just leave it so in the gray area that you don't know exactly what it's referring to. You know, some Bibles will say Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a virgin, which lets you know she never had a child before. Or some will say she's just a young girl, a young lady. Well, you don't know whether she was, but that is the miracle of her having a baby, because she was a virgin. Now, how can a virgin have a baby? You know? But if you don't explain it or make it clear, then you read over it. Well, she was just a woman, you know, like any other woman. Special about this.
I think that's Satan's plan.
Yes.
If you convince everybody that you can tell them what they need to know, they won't know whether it's true or not. And how are they going to argue?
What you touched on is the very thing, as Jerry mentioned before, Satan does stuff so subtly, so sneaky, so under the table, so smoothly, so slowly. If you don't realize what's happening until after it's happening, you find the path, and you think you're on the path, and slowly it veered off this way, and you look head going, everybody going that way. I'm over here. You don't even realize how you're over there. That's Satan's plan. Mm-hmm. That's what he's been doing ever since he's been kicked out of heaven. So, any way he can confuse us.
That's the main point of AI, is to cause confusion and remove accountability from, you know, our leaders, for one, the people who engineered it and released it, you know, because you can just say, that's not, it's AI, it's not me.
Yeah. That's what, wasn't me.
Yeah, but who created AI? It's his creation, so.
But it's our responsibility. We have to study and check behind, make sure we know. And as we teach our children, it's our responsibility to teach them what is right as best as we know. So we have to let them know. Because they're going to come up and they're going to stray anyway. Just like all of us do, you know, when we come up. I'm grown now, you know, I ain't got to do everything Mama said. Daddy said, let me try it this way. I don't see nothing wrong with it. You know.
Because you remind me of, I'm trying to remember the verse, with the Bereans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They wanted to verify.
Yes. Yeah,
they wanted to verify that what being said was true.
Right.
See? And so there's our example, another example of why we should do what we do. This is not we don't trust you, that we need to confirm.
You know what I said?
Right.
That's what we're supposed to do in church. That's what we bring this with us. Mm-hmm. So when anybody stands up, says something, and they claim it's thus says the Lord, that's not what my Bible says. Mm-hmm. I like the way James always tell people what the Bible said, you know. And yeah, we got different versions of the Bible where the context of the word is supposed to be the same.
Right.
You know, so if your Bible says this and my Bible says something different, let's talk about it and see what is the meaning of what is being said. If we can agree on that, and we know what's being said, we are right. This is what thus says the Lord said. But if we don't understand it, then we're being led down the path the wrong way, being disillusioned. And who's going to be accountable in the end? Right. And that's one of the things you can tell your friend. I don't know if you know about the story, you heard the story about the lady that was waiting, had the flood, and she was waiting for help to come and say, mm-hmm. she was waiting on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the Lord sent her all of the help that she needed. And then she ended up dying, and she asked the Lord, why you didn't send me some help? And he told her, I sent you all of this. Why you didn't move?
Mm-hmm. I talked to her about all of that, but she still insists. She said, I'm so confused, I need God to come down and speak to me directly.
Well, see, that never will happen.
No.
Well, she'll see God.
But yet, every day she tells me, make sure you pray for me. I need help. And I'm saying,
help is here.
And I told her, I said, I'll help you with studying the Bible. We'll go through it together.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, they don't want to do that. They don't want to open the book. They don't want to read it. I don't know why. It's fear of the God's word. I don't know why. They read anything else.
They don't want to change.
You know.
She doesn't want to change.
Right.
When you read the word or anything that's the truth, if you read it, you see it for yourself, then the ball is in your court. You have to make the change.
Exactly.
There's no excuse for you. Well, I didn't know. You can't say that for me. Because you have read it for yourself and you've seen it. So your responsibility is on you. Now, are you going to change or are you going to just keep on going with I can't do it or I don't know. You can't say I don't know because you've already read it and seen it. Right. Yeah,
it's boiling in your own oil.
When when they say that they're trying to plead ignorance,
mm-hmm.
ignorance is not going to cut it,
right.
Unfortunately. Let me give you a quick example. Young family in Germany enjoying the country.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't know all the laws of Germany. Mm-hmm. There's many laws. And one of them is you will not work on your car on Sunday.
On Sunday.
You will not. And so, me being a young military guy, of course, didn't have a lot of money to take it to a shop. Uh-huh. And so it was something I could do. And so that's what I was doing in the yard, in the parking lot. And fortunately, I don't remember exactly what it was, but fortunately I was able to get it done that day. But sure enough, there are cops, the police, looking for me. Because I was working on Sunday. So I said, well, so I would have been legally in trouble, even though I was ignorant of the law. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for your friend and for anybody else who's ignorant or pleads ignorance, thinking, well, since I didn't read it, then I'm not obligated. No, I'm in Germany's country. Mm-hmm. I obey their laws.
Exactly.
Guess what? You're in God's country.
Yeah.
You're going to obey God's laws.
Yes.
So, yeah, and again, we're going to have that day of judgment where he says, oh, by the way, I sent you a sister who would have helped you if you would have chosen.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that up in my lesson today. So
it's like with the rich man and Lazarus, another example. The rich man Lazarus, he just was flippant. He just walked by and had showed no concern about the man's condition. And he was going to just plead ignorant of that. And we saw how that worked out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We have a responsibility that, as I said, we're supposed to walk by sight. And not walk by sight. We're supposed to walk by faith. But we still can't not be ignorant of what we do see. And this is one of the things that we're weighing heavy on Gideon. Mm-hmm. How is this going to happen? Why is this happening? All this coming down on us. And one of the main things that got me going when I read this was when the angel came to him and told him, you, mighty man of God, you will save this. He turns around and said, he goes to talk about us, as in everybody, his tribe, his people, everybody. And when he talked about himself, he said, I'm just a little guy. I'm nobody. And it made me think about, I don't know how other women do this, and not for us, for men, a lot of us. Even when, like we were in school, the team you was on, a lot of the winning is we. When they start losing, it's y'all. Gideon flipped that quick when he said, you will be able to do this. And he was talking about, well, why is we suffering? You know, why is this happening to us? And he was telling him that you are the one. He didn't believe it. He didn't see it. Yes.
Of course, it's a discourse about the attitude Israel had with their God, with our mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. And it's written there for our example. It's like, hopefully we don't repeat what is going on. That we understand that God is good to you. God should be praised. And if we truly love him, we look forward to pleasing him in every way. Again, when he makes that statement, why is this happening to us? But what comes to mind, there's sin in the camp.
Yeah.
There's sin in the camp. And so, again, to obviously he's discounted that. He just knows of the stories of how they've been rescued in the past. And so, of course, he wants rescue now, but doesn't realize or contemplate why those things are happening. Just because there's sin in the camp. You have left your first love.
He's overlooking it, just like everybody else.
Yes. I think sometimes we underestimate that statement when Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And we think we overlook the importance of that, how powerful that faith is that we're supposed to have. Then Jesus came back several times and he showed us what a woman was healed simply by touching his garment. He said, by your faith. He healed Jairus' daughter by his faith. And the faith is so powerful that we have a strong faith. Faith is that powerful. Then where is Satan who tried to attack us? Weaken that faith. And he's going to use every tool he has to make us take our eyes off of faith. But if we concentrate on building that faith, we just accomplish things that we don't even imagine right now in our lives. That faith should be an important part of our prayer to God. Please increase my faith. Help me increase my faith. We'll stay away from a lot of these battles, the darts that these ships, Satan keeps throwing down.
Well, I was just thinking, Gideon kind of reminds me of Moses. You know, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do the job. And what comes to my mind is that anything God puts before you, if you have enough faith in God, you should know I can do this. Because I don't have to do it on my own. He's right beside me, guiding every step that I need to say or do or whatever in order to get this job accomplished. He's not going to leave me on my own. You know, God already goes before you to even out the way. And so then that brings back to what just Jerry says. How much faith do you have in this?
That's the whole thing.
You know, it's believing in Christ, I can do all things that he puts before me. You know, and so, but you try to teach that to people, you know, it's, God wants you to believe in him through faith. You know, people says, you believe in me because you've seen me. But blessed are those who have not seen me but yet believe, okay? And people just can't. It's like a wall. You can't get past it with them. I want to see. I want to hear him speak to me personally. And it's like, how do you explain that?
You made me think of, and you all probably have seen or heard of it, how the person stands up and they got faith. People behind them are
gonna catch
them. And they know the people. Uses their friends. They trust them. And, you know, they're going to catch them. They're not going to just play a prank on them. But still, keep looking like that. Hey, y'all ready? I am. Don't you better drop me.
Put a mattress down first. Don't catch me. I'll eat something soft.
They got the faith, but still, it takes them. They don't just, okay, y'all got me. Okay, boom. Alright, get ready now. I'm getting ready, you know. You got to build it up.
I'm sure you've probably all seen this cartoon, the Charlie Brown and Lucy with the football.
Yeah. Every year.
But also faith. I know it's hard to put a sum on it. Because it's like trying to describe somebody's well-being. You know within yourself if things are well, as far as you can tell. You're not hurting, you're not suffering, you're not in a depressive state, et cetera, et cetera. There's a sense of well-being. And so we all experience that. And so faith is something, in my understanding, like that. You can't really grab it, touch it, but you know when you have it. And you also know when you don't have it. And so a little story, you probably heard this story about the faith of a child.
Remember when we were younger, you, in your mind, you could do anything? You put on a little cape and you give them a little soda and you could conquer the world. So the story goes, family in the house has a basement. The lights went out. Dad went down the steps with a little flashlight trying to find the circuit panel. The little girl came up to the door and then she could hear through the darkness Dad saying, "Stop!" "Why, Dad? I want to be with you." You almost fell. "Stop." "But Dad, I want to be with you." And I forget the reason why the stairs weren't there. I think, anyway, the stairs weren't there. Yeah, it was a ladder. That's right. You went down there with a ladder. And so she said, she was pretty insistent, "Dad, I want to be with you." So she, to make the story short, he told her, "Jump. Dad, I can't see you. I got you. Jump." She jumped. He caught her. So is our trust, is our faith like that, is knowing that somebody who genuinely loves you, and that's our God. He proved it over and over again. He says, "Jump. I'll catch you."
That's what we need. It's not going to happen overnight. But gradually, the more we trust in God, He brings us through stuff. That's what we can deal with. And like Gary said, we should think of that first. You know, instead of thinking, "Well, how am I going to do this? I can't do this. You know, I don't see how." No, you don't see how. Because it's not seeing. And as the angel was telling Gideon, "I'm going to be with you. You're not going to be able to do it, but because I'm going to be with you." And still, he had to, let me make sure that you are really with me. Be here when I get back. I'm going to go bring this offering. And if you accept this offering in front of me, then I know you are who you say you are. Still, the faith. You know, got to test it, got to prove it. And that's what we're going to see every day. To know that God is going to take care of us all the time, but still, we tend to overlook the fact that God's going to do it. His part. How about our part? He's not going to keep doing it for us. He's not going to do it what we're supposed to do. Case in point, why are we studying right here? We start out doing it for a little while, and then, "Oh, we got this. We all right. God got us. And we're supposed to do this, but man, I don't see why we got to do that." It's straight. God worshiping other guys and all kinds of stuff. But again, still, God will still take care of us. He'll still protect them. He'll still allow them to have what they want to have or what they need. That's why they got in the situation. Case in point. Okay. I know we are dragging through the lesson, and my purpose, and hopefully, I know at times it can be a little boring, but this is what I want to hopefully be able to accomplish. When somebody says something to you, or comes up in your mind, or you be talking about something, and the word may come up that we have went over also, a lesson that we have studied. Like said, Ehud, or Othniel, or Deborah, or anybody. And you're going to say, "Yeah, I know something about that. We had a lesson about that. I know something. I mean, they did something. Don't come right to your mind." Of course, we all have minds that we're going to be forgetful sometimes. But I'm hoping that when that little light comes on, you're going to remember something about it that's going to illuminate, or it's going to make you remember some particular thing about it that they did. And you can talk about it. You may not can tell it word for word. You may not can go in detail. But instead of saying, "I know something," you know one thing that stuck with you about it. It's just like if you go to the Bahamas, and you've never been there before, you're not going to remember everything you saw, and you'd be fresh in your mind when you come back, and you may tell other people about the good time you had and all that. But 10 years later down the road, somebody talking about the Bahamas, you say, yeah, I went to the Bahamas one time. You're not going to go into detail about everything you did and how good a time you had, but you're going to tell about one thing that stood out that you remember that happened to you, that you experienced. And you can tell about it even if it's not even there no more. You can remember that one thing that's going to always stand on. That's what I'm hoping that as we go through these lessons, something going to stick with you. Maybe you'll be telling somebody else about something in the Bible. And you can explain it to them to spot the interest in that, where they can go to the book itself and read it. Or you can go in there and find it and tell them about it. So read this. But instead of just telling them, yeah, we studied that one time. It was in this big battle or something. And I don't know, a whole lot of people got killed, you know. Yeah, that's just like another book we read about the War of 1812. A whole lot of people got killed. What's so special? You know, but you want to reflect on God and something that can inspire somebody and inspire yourself too, that will keep you in the loop, so to speak, of what's happening, what we're supposed to be doing, spreading the gospel. And that's my purpose, or at least that's what I'm trying to accomplish. And we could go through the book real quick, but with the response I'm getting from y'all, I kind of think y'all get something out of it a little bit, and I hope that you do. And if I'm going too slow, y'all say, well, do like that. I see you. You know, I see you. Going too slow, Wes. You need to pick it up.
I'm enjoying
that. Well, we don't pretty much use up all the time for this.
These are faith-building classes you have.
Yeah.
Well, it's the grace of God is all I can say. You just use me to stand up here. Of course, any one of you guys can get up here and do the same thing.
That's
right. I'm just doing it because, you know, the book was here. We still got plenty of books. Like the same thing we're doing Wednesday nights. You know, y'all get up here and do the same thing, too. But I'm going to stop it right here. Next week, we'll go into I Have Seen the Angel of the Lord, and we'll discuss that.